School Board Committee. I'd like to thank our committee members, Supervisor and Co-Chair Umstadt, Supervisor Briskman, Supervisor Glass, and our school board members, Ms. King and Ms. Reeser, our staff liaisons on both sides, along with our tech support for making our meeting possible today. In addition, thank you to all the others who are joining our meeting today. Thank you. So I'd like to call to order the Monday, December 7th, 2020 Joint Board of Supervisors and School Board meeting. To order, we're hosted today by Loudoun County Public Schools. This meeting is being held virtually at the Board of Supervisors public hearing on March 14th, 2020. The board readopted the continuity ordinance in accordance with Virginia Code Section 15.2-1413. It remains in effect for 6 months unless otherwise rescinded, extended, or readopted by the board. So we need to make a motion to approve the virtual meeting. I'll go ahead and make that. I move that the Joint Board of Supervisors and School Board meeting approve the resolution provided as attachments 1 and 2 to the December 7th, 2020 Joint Committee action as an action item. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so it has been moved and seconded by Ms. Umstadt. Is there any discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor, raise your hand and say aye.
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 Okay, that motion will carry unanimously. So moving on to agenda item number 3, public comment. We have one public commenter, Ms. Leffler, and we will allow her 2 minutes.
Hello.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I just wanted to start this meeting off with, I don't know, maybe a history lesson is the best way to say it. December 7th, and our country changed drastically. For those of us that were stationed in Pearl Harbor, past, present, and future, we got surprised. We had a lot of things happening all at once, but in the end, we pulled through it. So I think that that's a strong lesson to be remembered today more than ever, is that it is possible to come together to make things happen, to make just to make things better. Because as a military veteran and former substitute teacher for critical needs, I ask you to please reflect on the message being sent to the community. Right now, we don't understand. Do teachers really not want to return to school? And how does that make the students feel? With trauma, it needs to be discussed. School avoidance was a big issue even before COVID. If students see their parents working and the teachers saying that schools aren't safe, that will be a big issue when schools reopen and trying to establish trust. There needs to be more acknowledgement of the safety mitigation factors to bring confidence back to the school system. We hear a lot of fear and doubt, but we don't hear hope. And that's what we need more than ever, that teachers are role models. And right now, kids are more confused than ever. Mental health issues, just everything. Just please be there for our children. Please remind everyone it is safe to be in school, because we need to hear that now more than ever. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leffler, and thank you for sharing your comments and your concerns. We appreciate that. So moving on to agenda item number 4, co-chair activity reports. Ms. Umstadt, would you like to go first?
Thank you. Thank you, Co-Chair Corbo. I just wanted to make sure that Julie Briskman got a chance to weigh in on her concerns about the fact that our two boards meet at the same time, and Supervisor Briskman had hoped that we might look into rescheduling one or both board meetings so that we wouldn't meet at exactly the same time. And I'd like to defer briefly to Supervisor Briskman. Julie, if you want to state better than I can your concerns.
Sure. Thank you, Supervisor Umstead. And maybe the school board wants to clarify, because they may not be the official meetings that are happening on Tuesday nights. I thought that they were your normal board meetings, but now I've heard perhaps that those meetings that are happening on Tuesday nights are just because of the crisis. And maybe that's not a normal thing, but my goal was, and my counterpart Atus and I have talked about this a couple times, because we want to watch each other's meetings, and it seems like we're always in meetings at the same time. So looking forward to January, I was hoping that our boards could look at our schedules and make sure that we weren't meeting on the same nights, if in fact that is when the boards are having their regular meetings.
And on
what they think about that issue. Sure. The other thing is, like, we often hear that, you know, a little bit of criticism that maybe the schools aren't coming to speak to our board when there's information that could be had. And I just wanted to make sure, I think part of that is because the boards are meeting at the same time. And so I just want to make sure that we look into that and try to see if we can meet at different times.
And just for the school board members' benefit, this is, as Julie and Sylvia know, this was not a topic that we were authorized to take up as an action item on the joint committee, but it was something that we wanted to bring to the school board's attention to see what you all want to do about that. If anything, it may be impossible for us to avoid having meetings at the same time, but we wanted to make sure that you were aware that, you know, this concern had come up with Supervisor Briskman certainly being concerned about it. Denise, I don't know if there's anything you would want to say. I know it is almost impossible to reschedule meetings, especially when you've got two full boards. So I don't know if that is anything that Denise, you, Atus, and Leslie would want to bring forward to your colleagues or not. So if you have any thoughts on it, we're all ears.
I know that from past history, it was shared with me. Because I think we've talked about this before as well, that the school board meeting has always met at this time, and that the Board of Supervisors has changed their meetings. But I don't know. I would like to look into that. I think that it would be beneficial if we could figure out a way that where we aren't meeting at the same time. So I don't know if that was something that Kristen or Ms. Umstead, that we could discuss with our liaisons to see if that's a possibility at all. Ms. King?
Yes, we meet on the first and third Tuesday every month. Now, as you may be aware or not, some of our meetings have gone exceptionally long. And so the meeting has been stopped and paused, and we met again the next Tuesday to finish. But normally we meet on the first and third Tuesday. Now, we have many committee meetings. I'm chair of the Finance Committee, Finance and Facilities, and we meet on the opposite. We meet the second and fourth Tuesdays so that we have preparation that will happen and we're not constrained by having to have a hard stop to get into the school board meetings. And sometimes the school board meetings start at 4 o'clock instead of the regular 6, because we do have long meetings. Like Ms. Corbo said, I'm new this year, but my understanding is it's been this way for a long time. So you may want to speak with your people to see if you can change it. I think that was one of the purposes of this committee meeting every other month rather than once a quarter, is so that we could be together on things and understand what the other side or the other board is doing. I personally have meetings every night, Monday through Thursday, because I'm on quite a few committees, and I think the other school board members are similar, if not the same. But you know, we can always watch what's been recorded if that's necessary.
Thank you. And Madam Co-Chair, I think the Board of Supervisors will take up its meeting agenda in January,
January 5th, I think.
Okay, all right. I think Katusa's got her hand up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ms. Reeser.
Thank you. So I believe that currently our meeting nights are on alternating Tuesdays. Our school board meetings are actually the second and fourth Tuesday of the month, but we, and I believe your board meets the first and third Tuesday of the month.
Yes.
So during the summer and in some of the fall months, because of the COVID crisis, we went to having weekly meetings. So some of those conflicts have been because of the current pandemic crisis, and we are not having weekly meetings at this point. Although Ms. King is correct that our board meetings have had to go so long that sometimes we recess and take it up a different night of that week or a subsequent week. But generally speaking, I believe we're on alternating Tuesdays.
And Madam Co-Chair, could I ask if that satisfies Supervisor Briskman's concerns?
Sure.
Thank you. Yeah, that absolutely does. If the meetings are, you know, school board the second and fourth and supervisors first and third, then that definitely resolves the issue. Absolutely. So hopefully we'll be able to stick to that and by maybe the end of the first quarter 2021.
And just to add, for example, this month, because or in November when there's a Thanksgiving holiday, we may shift, but typically speaking, that is, we are on alternating Tuesdays.
Ms. King, did you want to add to that?
Yes, and I want to thank Ms. Reeser for pointing out we did meet the first Tuesday this month and the third, but that's because of the holidays, the winter break that's coming up. And so you're right. It gets confusing, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay, Madam Co-Chair, that's all I've got.
Okay, well, I tend to always have a little bit more. So the school has been very busy. So we were recently made aware that that Dr. Williams, our superintendent, is leaving to take on a new position to head a school division in Clear Creek, Texas. And also Dr. Hamlet, who is also on with us today, she will be taking on a new role as superintendent in a school division in North Carolina. So we wish them both the very best of luck as they take on their new and exciting roles. The school board has been actively seeking an interim replacement for the superintendent and also working with a consulting group to help the division find a new superintendent. It will take time. So we're assuming that maybe six or more months. And in the meantime, I just want to acknowledge and say that we are blessed to have a strong staff who will continue to support and lead the division while we make the transition. Another item, and I see that Mr. Sorokin is here. So I wanted to bring this up. So at our school board CIP and CAPP or CAP meeting, budget meeting, Mr. Sorokin discussed the possibility of the Board of Supervisors and the school board working together to bring an aquatic center to the western end of the county. And the school board requested that the joint board, I think they requested, or maybe I suggested it, that our committee work together on this topic and look at the possibilities of working, possibly having this as an information item, maybe at our next meeting or soon. The school board recently approved a return to school plan for all students in phases. Last week, the school administration presented thresholds to the school board on how to transition from distance learning to virtual learning based on the approved health metrics that we approved, that the board approved. And as we all are elected public officials, I know that the Board of Supervisors and of course us have been receiving tons of emails from the community members who are reaching out with concerns regarding school board topics and issues. We have many parents, teachers, healthcare, medical health experts on both sides debating of, you know, should we return kids to school? Should we not? Is it safe? Is it not safe? And just a lot of insecurity out there, you know, since this pandemic. And so I really appreciate that when we receive forwarded emails from supervisors who remind their constituents that of the roles that the Board of Supervisors really, they don't have any authority or say over the school board. And I appreciate it when we receive those emails to give the school board and us, you know, the members, an opportunity to really speak to the constituents that are concerned. We appreciate that. We have recently surveyed the community for the second semester, and over 60% of our students have opted for virtual learning or continuing virtual learning, which was very interesting to all of us. And we want to provide that if it's safe. There is concern with our employees, with our teachers and our staff members. And I just wanted to share a comment that was shared with me from an employee that really touched me. So he wrote in an email to us, school has never been and will stay, I'm sorry, let me start again. School has been and will stay open. Our schools have not been closed, only our buildings. School has very much been in session and growing stronger since the pandemic started back in March 2020. We had a slow start last school year, but we are in dramatically better shape now. Virus cases and deaths are rising. They're not decreasing. Vaccines are on the way, but they're not here yet. Online school isn't ideal, but it has momentum. Let's keep building on that momentum until we can safely open our buildings again to everyone. And I just felt like that statement just really resonated with me and is such a great, powerful message because schools have not been closed. It really has been our buildings. And we have so many staff members that are working so hard to make this work for all of our students. It's not ideal for everyone, but we are doing the very, very best that we can. And I think that it's so important that together, the school board members and school officials, along with Board of Supervisors, that we embrace what we have, that we have right now. We have a plan, we have metrics, we have thresholds, and we need to jointly support those because we know that they have been brought to us based on a lot of input from others. So the school has done their research and they have presented that to us. And so we all need to embrace that and send that same strong message that we're just doing the best that we can to keep everybody safe and in the situation that we have. So I wanted to share that. We can go on to our next item, our action and information item. So that is services. Our first item is services to non-enrolled students. And Dr. Jones is with us, so I will pass it on to Dr. Jones.
Good evening. Can you hear me? Or good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Well, thank you. As written in this information item, there are services that are available to non-enrolled students who are also residents of LaSalle County. The Code of Virginia, the regulations governing special education programs for children with disabilities in Virginia, as well as Loudoun County Schools policy, provide information regarding the services that are available to non-enrolled students who are indeed our residents of Loudoun County. The Departments for Pupil Services and the Department of Instruction have information that's posted on the LCPS website, as well as individuals on staff who are available answer questions and support families who may have questions regarding services. The specific services that are outlined by the code and our policies and the regulation include various assessments that are provided by the College Board, the opportunity for part-time enrollment if that's desired, also through child find services for children who might not be developing as they're typically developing peers and families expect disability, as well as consulting and speech services for eligible students who have been identified to have a disability in the area of speech and language therapy, and that is through their independent, their individualized service plan. And of course, as I've mentioned, we have staff members on staff who are very knowledgeable of the service and can connect the family. As far as the College Board assessment, despite the pandemic that we're currently experiencing, our staff has worked diligently to facilitate College Board assessments this school year. And those include advanced placement exams, the SAT, the National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Test, the SAT, as well as the ACT examinations for our students who are home instructed. We have a robust website that is provided as a resource with notifications of how to register, meet the deadlines, and the availability of financial assistance should meet low-income or needy students need that. As far as part-time enrollment, we have policies regulating that, and for free admission, homeschooled parents who desire their students participate may enroll on a part-time basis if they are eligible to do so. And that is through grades 7 through 12. And the high school credits are available in the areas of mathematics, science, English, social studies, career and technical education, the fine arts, foreign language, and health or physical education. Part-time students may also participate in the co-curricular activities that are required as a result of enrollment in those particular courses, such as orchestra or band or chorus or even the theater or drama. I mentioned the regulations for special education in Virginia, and we do maintain a active child find program that parents who suspect their child may have a disability, if they're homeschooled or attending private school, they can be tested through to identify if they are eligible for services through our child find program, starting as early as age 22 to age 21. For students, as I mentioned, who have already been identified with the need of specialized services and they are eligible for consultation services as well as speech language services through LPM. And those students have what we call a ISP, which is a individual service plan. And that is an opportunity for the homeschool, the parent, guardian, student, and LCPS staff to collaborate, or if that's students attending private schools, to collaborate to determine exactly what the student may be eligible and how those services will be provided to support that student in a meaningful way. So that outlines a broad overview of the services that are available by code and by policy, and I'm happy to answer any additional questions that you may have.
Great, thank you, Dr. Jones. Does anyone have any questions? I don't see any. I actually have one. Ms. Glass, I'll let you go ahead and go first.
Thank you. You may have answered it for me. I think you may have, but you had talked about, I think it was speech services. So if other services are needed, such as OT, are those, will the student receive those services?
So actually, students, not all homeschooled or private school students are eligible for these full continuum of specialized services, being that they are non-enrolled. And school divisions are required to develop an annual plan, which we have, and there are appropriated set-aside funds that are available to provide the consult or the level of services for the student. And in our annual plan, the services that are eligible for non-enrolled students is speech-language services. And of course, the code provides the opportunity should parents of homeschool students or private school students desire to receive additional services, they may enroll in LCPS as a enrolled student to receive additional services.
Thank you. So I had a question with how many hours do homeschoolers have to have, or is there an hour constraint for them to be considered part-time?
Yes. So for our part-time enrollment, students may enroll in up to two classes to be considered a part-time student. That's a maximum of two high school credit courses per term.
Thank you. And then are students eligible for special permission since they provide their own transportation? Or
No, they are not. Special permission, if I understand as you're asking the question, are for students who may reside in one area of the county assigned to a particular school based on their residency, but they may wish to attend another school. We call that special permission for policy. So those are for, that is for students who are enrolled actually in LCPS.
Okay, and then are they eligible, and you might have gone over this in your presentation, I apologize if I'm asking again for clarification, but are the homeschool students are they permitted to take drama, band?
So yes, the code does allow for a part-time enrollment, and on our website it does list the grade through grade 7 through 12 in those core areas mentioned, to include career and technical education, fine arts, foreign language, health and physical education. Those students, if there is a co-curricular activity that is required as part of that enrollment, part-time enrollment, then they may participate and are expected to participate in those activities.
Right, so it's, and that's for part-time?
For part-time enrollment, if they so desire to be a part-time enrolled student, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions for Dr. Jones? Okay, and then I assume that we have on our website all of this information outlined too that you shared. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. And in the Department for People Services, we have a coordinator who works very collaboratively with the homeschoolers who there's a process each year. And so we have staff that is designated and a robust website that has lots of information that families can find available there as a resource.
Okay, great. Thank you. So if anyone has concerns, they can definitely reach out to our staff or find more information online.
That is correct. Or they may call.
Or they can call. did we have any other school board questions? Okay, so let's move on to our second, and thank you, Dr. Jones.
Thank you.
We'll move on to our second item. So the 2021 schedule of meetings, and I believe we have either Naya or Shalom to help us out there. Shalom, I see you talking, but we don't hear you. Or I don't hear you.
This is Naya. I've been having audio issues as well today, which is why I'm keeping my camera off. But Shalom, if you can hear me, Shalom, if you want to just shake your head, I can take this item if it'll help. Okay.
Right. Thank you, Dr. Hamlet.
No problem. So the purpose of this item was really just to present to the Joint Committee the 2021 proposed schedule for the Joint Committee. And staff recommends that the committee endorse this meeting schedule, which, as you may recall, in the beginning of this current year, the committee adopted a meeting schedule for meetings every other month. So we just followed that same schedule. So you'll see the every other month meeting schedule beginning in February with alternating locations, assuming that the Joint Committee would resume to meetings in person at some point in time, but even we continue to alternate those meetings virtually as well.
Thank you. I believe that every other month, like I think that has been a good thing for us to share information and to meet every other month. So I am in agreement with that. I know that there's been some discussion about the 3:30 meeting time being a little bit challenging for some. So I'm open for discussion.
Madam Chair, I'm okay with the 3:30 meeting time. And I think the schedule looks good, but I don't know if any of my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors are concerned. I know that we tried to accommodate Board of Supervisor members when we set up the 3:30 meeting. So I don't know if Sylvia and Julie have any comments on how this is working for them.
Thank you for asking. Actually, this is a good time for me, so I'm fine if we continue with our schedule.
Actually, thank you. Yes, I think that it was partially my request that we have something that wasn't another night meeting. As Leslie pointed out, we have an awful lot of night meetings, so I was hopeful that we could get something a little earlier. So I appreciate that. I don't know if the panel wants to discuss. I was thinking maybe having it a little bit later in the month might be helpful, like the third or fourth week, but that is just more just because I feel like the months are front loaded with meetings for many of us. But I wouldn't fall on my sword over it.
Yeah, I know that that our third week is usually pretty packed. And Ms. Reese, I see that you have your hand raised, so I'd love to hear your opinion on this.
Thank you. I was going to suggest that since we're not meeting until February, that perhaps we do change committee assignments in January, so the composure of our committee may change. And I wondered if it would make sense to maybe look at the possibility of other Mondays offline in the interim before our next scheduled meeting, and also just to see if our committee stays the same or if it changes. We do have other school board members who are not available for day meetings at all. So if somebody other than the three of us is on this committee, I would feel that not knowing whether I'll be reassigned to this committee, approving a calendar for the upcoming year might be a little premature. Although I realize we do have to decide when we're gonna meet, I suppose whoever the co-chairs are could coordinate that after our committee changes are completed.
Mm-hmm. Ms. King?
Anybody can correct me if I'm wrong. As I tell my children, I'm never wrong. But we can approve this. I think it's good for us to meet before our school board meets, because then we get to report these things. But we could approve it, and if it doesn't work out for some reason, aren't we able to then change the date within the month?
Correct. I think that once we if new committee members are formed and we have a new chair, co-chair, we could it can be all changed. This is just tentative, so just to kind of give everybody just a kind of holding place on the calendar is how I see it. Ms. Briswin.
I was just going to reiterate what Atusa said, because we literally just got an email from Chair Randall that while our major committee assignments won't change, some of our more minor committee assignments might be changing. So we will, whoever does end up on the committee might want to change it, and I think that's fine. But I also think it's fine to set it now and knowing that they might change it.
Ms. Reeser?
Yeah, I don't have a problem setting it. I just wanted to point out that if we're going to be looking at picking a different Monday, it might make sense to do that offline instead of the six of us trying to pick a different Monday right now. That's all.
I think that my opinion is to go ahead and just approve this for now, knowing that it may change in January when everything else may change. Ms. King?
I agree. I mean, we're all going through a lot of change. So I'd like to make a motion that we approve this schedule for next year.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded by Ms. Umstadt that we approve the committee meeting dates as outlined in the agenda. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor, raise your hand and say aye.
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 It's that's unanimous. So I believe that is the end of our agenda items.
Madam Co-Chair? Yes. Could I just ask a question on the 60% of the students who responded to the most recent survey and requested, I believe, 100% distant learning? How do we Google that so that we can forward those results to constituents who write in? Because I know we all receive emails of concern from parents who do want to get their kids back into in-person learning. And it's helpful if they know where the rest of the families are on this, I believe. So I tried Googling it and I looked at the school board site, but I couldn't quite find it. Could perhaps school staff send us a link so that we can put that information out? Not how, of course, any one individual responded, but what the final results were.
Sure. Dr. Williams, would you like to address that?
We'd be happy to provide that information.
That's great. Thank you so much. That's all I've got.
Thank you. Mr. Hemstreet?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. This is more of a housekeeping issue, really, for Supervisor Umstadt and or Co-Chair Umstadt and the county board members. I think early on, and I'm doing this because Shalom's having audio problems, but early on in the meeting, I think Co-Chair Corvo, you mentioned that the school board had directed a discussion on a Western Loudoun Aquatic Center to this committee. In order for county staff to work on that or be a part of any support to our board to the committee, that would require board direction. So I was kind of asking, or Supervisor Umstadt, if that's something you would like the committee to make a motion on in terms of that request to the Board of Supervisors, or if you wanted to take that directly on behalf of the committee, or if there is a school board motion, if staff could send us a copy of that motion, we can put it on the board agenda. So it's just a housekeeping item. If there's a desire for this committee to take it up, as county staff, we would need authority from the board to do that. And so I was just wondering which of those three options.
I think, Tim, thanks for bringing that up. And Denise, if I can, I think probably the easiest way for us to take that forward to the Board of Supervisors as accurately as possible would be if the school board sent us a letter or did a motion and passed it to request it. We don't have all the details at this point based on the discussion in this particular meeting. So I think if the school board and Denise and our colleagues on the school board side, if you disagree with me, please let me know. I think the easiest thing for the Board of Supervisors would be if we had something official from the school board requesting that. And I don't want to throw a bureaucratic hurdle in, but I don't right now know exactly the best way to phrase that to take it to the Board of Supervisors.
My understanding is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding was that it could possibly be an information item for this committee. And then we could go from there. If there was interest in moving that forward, then we could bring that to each of our boards for approval. That seems to me like it's the official way, but I don't know. I know that there's other ways too, but that was my understanding.
Yeah, that's certainly one way we could do it. I think the Board of Supervisors is going to want to know that the majority of the full school board is behind the idea, mm-hmm. Which is why I think it's great to discuss it here and to send it back to the school board and back to the Board of Supervisors. I feel it would be more persuasive for the full Board of Supervisors if the full school board had made a formal request in some format, whether as a letter or an email, just so we know that a majority of the school board wants us to consider this. If it were just, because I have to be mindful of the fact, and Shalom will kick me under any table we're sitting at if I don't do this, I want to be mindful of the fact that the Board of Supervisors has given us a limited number of items on which we can take action in the committee. And this was not one of them directly authorized. So Denise, do you see a problem with the full school board wanting to send us a formal request?
I do know that that at our meeting that there we it was suggested that it was discussed at the joint meeting, and it didn't appear that we had full support for this at that time. I see Ms. Reeser has her hand raised, so I know that she'll have some information too to share. So Ms. Reeser.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify, I believe we did this, just refreshing my own memory, that we had the same process after the joint board came up with items that we wanted to discuss. We had to get our full board's approval. So I think we have the same process mirrored on our side, that if there's something additional, we would need to also have our board's approval to discuss it here. And I believe you raised the issue of potentially taking this up at the joint board meetings with our board, but we did not have any either informal or formal board input on whether there was support to do that, even though there was a suggestion for that. And I'm not sure that there would or wouldn't be one way or the other, but I do believe we have the same process, so we would need to take it back to the full school board, as Ms. Umstadt's outlining for your procedure.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
Is that agreeable? You know, we're happy to give a report to the full Board of Supervisors that this issue came up, and that we know some members of the school board are interested in pursuing this idea. And if it was all right with our school board members, we could report to the Board of Supervisors that this is going back before the full school board to sort of formalize the request. Right now, I don't know quite how to present this to the Board of Supervisors. I don't know what the details are. I think Ian probably does, and maybe Tony Buffington might, but before we go back to the Board of Supervisors, I'd like to have cost estimates. I'd like to have a preferred location. I'd like to have a schedule to present to the full Board of Supervisors if we're seeking their support. I don't have that at this time. And I don't know if you guys on the school board side have that either at this time. And Tim, if you want to correct me, just jump in, please.
If it's okay, the only thing I would add is that this would typically be something that would come through the CIP. And so there would typically be staff support and staff discussion between school board staff and Board of Supervisors staff as a part of the discussion, just to support the board members in the dialogue.
I do know that the school board at the meeting that we had did not approve this. So that was, it was not approved. And that's why we suggested possibly bringing it here for discussion and information and further details. Ms. King?
Well, actually, we discussed this in our SIP app meeting, and we wanted to push this to the supervisors because we saw it as being run by Parks and Recreation. I do believe there is more information about it. Mr. Sorokin had some. They're definitely guesstimates on things, and that's why we were asking this to go to the Board of Supervisors, because we felt that it would be Parks and Recreation that would be handling it mostly. And Mr. Sorokin, if you have something else to say, I think that'd be a good thing.
Mr. Sorokin?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just to clarify the background of the intent was to try to accelerate the Aquatic Center portion of the Western Loudoun Rec Center project that is already part of the county CIP by potentially co-locating that on the grounds of one of the two Western Loudoun high schools, which wouldn't require land acquisition, and so could potentially accelerate that project by 5 or 10 years, depending on when that project is anticipated going forward on the county side. So I had moved, in a work session, we had a straw vote on trying to add that to the school side of the CIP, which didn't pass outright, but there was a desire to, we didn't take a formal vote or even a straw poll on this, but there was a desire to work collaboratively with the Board of Supervisors to try and figure out what the right approach to doing this would be, and if it even made sense to do it at all. Because the county CIP works a little differently, where you guys don't really schedule at all, at least formally, beyond the first 5 years of the CIP. So right now, that project is just listed in future years, which could be 2027 or it could be 2050. So if you're moving out on it in 2027, then it probably doesn't make sense to try and accelerate. But if you're 10 years out and we can deliver that significantly sooner by figuring out how to potentially co-locate it or do it on school property, then that's the intent, to try and figure out whether something makes sense to do. So if we need to take it back to the school board and get, I guess I'm struggling. I realize I'm not a member of this committee, but I'm struggling why like full a full vote of the boards is necessary to get something on a committee agenda. That seems backwards just looking at it holistically, but perhaps I don't understand what the process is.
I think we have another meeting, a CIP meeting on December 15th, and we could probably make a motion there if the school board needs to make a formal motion to have this topic discussed in our joint meeting. Does that sound reasonable? And then that would give us the go ahead from the school board side.
I mean, from my point of view, I think that would be helpful. I guess, is it the hope of the school board members that this would be added to the count, that would be on the county CIP, but co-located with a high school so that it could go forward more quickly? But would you anticipate that the funds used to build it would not be taken from the school board's budget, but would be part of County Parks and Rec? Is that the gist of what the request is going to be?
Right, and I also think it's just, you know, getting some additional information. We would like to hear, I think, from, you know, because both sides would have a stake in this. And I think one of the concerns that was brought up is staffing and responsibility for staffing. So there were a lot of concerns that were brought up because it just needed more information and more clarity on what this would mean on both sides. You know, we can, if there's a need and there's support and we could possibly help in some way as a joint venture, I think that would be an interesting topic to take on. However, I think our concern is, you know, staffing and how it's going to impact budgets and so on. And if there is a true need or desire from the community for us to move ahead with this and each board.
And Madam Co-Chair, I don't know whether Mr. Sorotkin might have sort of a good answer to this, or whether you or any of the other colleagues would. Does the school board, those school board members who are advocates for this, do they perceive this as something that would predominantly serve Western Loudoun students, or would it be more like the pools, the swimming pools at Ida Lee, which are open to the general public and do not focus primarily on students? What's your sense of who the customer base is?
Right. Well, I think that's a great question, and I can't speak, you know, on behalf of anyone else on the board, but I do know that there were a lot of concerns and a lot of questions that were brought up, and therefore that's why I believe it didn't pass, because there are so many unknowns. You know, we need just more information and more clarity. I saw a few other hands raised. So, Ms. Reeser?
I was basically going to echo what you said, which is I don't think we can adequately represent what the school board or anybody besides Mr. Sorotkin, who's here, even the other two school board members. There were three out of the nine of us that supported the idea at the straw poll vote. We didn't really discuss some of what you're asking, and so I don't think it would be fair to try to represent what anybody else thought because we didn't move forward with discussions on it.
Mr. Sorokin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I can only speak for myself, but my personal conception for this, at least as a starting point, is that it would look very similar to the Prince William County Schools Aquatic Center, which is co-located with one of their high schools, where it's predominantly a community aquatic center that, you know, is run by their equivalent of Parks and Rec and is open to the public during most times, while at the same time, because it's co-located with a school and has some intrinsic possibilities, such as the swim teams in that area being able to use it and schools potentially being able to use it at other times. But it would more or less be similar to the other aquatic centers that are at Claudemore, Idaly, and elsewhere in the county.
Okay. We'll report to the Board of Supervisors as part of our report on this meeting that this was discussed. Any member of the board could bring forward this as a request if it were going to be a county parks and rec project, if we considered there was a need for this. Once it's a county parks and rec project, although I'm sure the scheduling would try to accommodate schools, there will be a much broader customer base potentially for it than schools. So if the hope was that students would be able to use it for their purposes, it might not work out that way if it's a county parks and rec project. Students would be one constituent of potentially many for using it. But we'll report to the board. We'll see what the board wants to do. There has been some brief discussion on the idea at a recent board meeting anyway. I expect our two Western supervisors would be the ones to take the lead on it. But I think if the school board were to want it to be to make sure that students had access to it when needed, I think Denise, you, Atusa, Leslie are right. We're going to need to cooperate on it. So we'll take this discussion back to the board. But if you want anything more formalized, we probably, and you want to make sure your students get top priority for using such a center, I think the full school board might want to request that of the Board of Supervisors. So we'll see where it goes at our end.
Thank you. I am Ms. Briskman.
Thank you. I just had actually a meeting with Steve Torpy from Parks and Rec, and we did talk about this upcoming schedule for recreation centers and where the perceived need is in the county. And I have to say that area of the county is not, it would be probably third or fourth in line as far as I understand what the scheduling is for recreation centers coming up. I am one to advocate that we need more lanes overall in the county. But in fact, Supervisor Umstead, you are correct that when Parks and Rec start allocating the lanes, they don't necessarily prioritize to that. I think they probably try to, but we have so few lanes that even folks from where I live end up having to go down to Dulles, for practice times, especially if it's a private swim team down there for practice times. We have a Dominion swim team that actually has to use lanes at Falcons Landing because they're kind enough to work on us with a partnership there because of the shortage of lanes. So, I mean, I am keenly aware with two swimmers in my household that of the lane shortage in the county. And I am always looking for ways to accelerate getting more recreation centers. We definitely have a dearth of them for the population load that we have in the county. So it's always something that I'm looking at. But I think that area would be, I don't know if just getting land sooner rather than later would be something that could resolve putting something out there. So we'll see if the school board wants to vote to send it to our committee. I'm happy to talk about it more. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Reeser?
So I see that we're almost out of time. Could I just be out of order for a moment to thank the supervisors for something?
Yeah,
that'd
sure.
Be all right, Madam Chair. I suppose I'm asking for a moment of personal privilege. Just wanted to thank you for setting up the The testing at Potomac Falls High School, the free COVID testing, we, and I know Ms. Briskman that you were a big driver of that. We have not had an event out in this area of the county, and one of the Sterling zip codes has had the highest prevalence. And I know that Dr. Goodfriend has done an excellent job of trying to go out and directly into that community, and I'm grateful to him for that. But having this event available at one of the high schools here has been very important to this part of the community. And I know that all of the supervisors supported that. So I just want to thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Reeser. I appreciate that. So do we have anything else that we need to discuss? Ms. King?
One of our constituents had brought up a number of items that she wanted us to look at. And it was dealing with things such as how are we helping the special education, how we are helping homeless children. And I have some information on that. Our wonderful staff provided me with some very good information. I'm not going to read it, but I'm happy to send it to this committee, and it can be posted if you wish.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Ms. King. Ms. Briskman?
I wanted to just say that I have enjoyed serving on the committee with you guys this year, since this will be our last meeting. I appreciate all the work and also keenly appreciate how difficult it's been for us to do certain things because of COVID. And I do regret that we weren't able to meet in person and get to know each other better. And also just wanted to say thank you, Dr. Williams, for your service to the county. I know that you will be missed, and just wanted to wish you the best of luck in Texas.
Thank you. Ms. Glass?
Thank you. And actually, I was going to mention that as well, Supervisor Briskman. I just wanted to wish Dr. Williams good luck in his endeavor down in his new position. And just good luck. And thank you for the work that you've done in Loudoun County.
Dr. Williams?
Yes, thank you. I want to thank you for your kind words. And I just want to express appreciation both for you all as members of the Board of Supervisors, but also for the Board of Supervisors generally, both the current board and previous boards. I think we can be proud of the level of collaboration that has occurred through the years between the two boards, and also through between staffs. I greatly appreciate the leadership of Mr. Hemstreet, and throughout my tenure here, we've been able to build to sustain and build upon strong relationships, to strengthen those relationships even further. And so I am very excited about my new opportunity in Texas, but I will greatly miss being in Loudoun, including collaboration with the county and the Board of Supervisors.
Thank you. I know that you'll be missed, and Dr. Hamlet, yeah, you as well. I know that you've been very instrumental with helping me learn the ropes and understand, you know, how this all works. So I really appreciate all the support.
Thank you, Ms. Oh, you're welcome.
do we have any other comments or okay?
No, so just Madam Co-Chair, I just would like to add my thanks to Dr. Williams and Dr. Hamlet, and to you, and to our colleagues on the school board. It's been a real pleasure working with all of you. I hope that this team sticks together, but if everybody goes off and does different things, I can understand. But I think you've all done a really superior job advocating for the students of Loudoun County, and I just appreciate the collaboration.
Thank you, and I completely agree. I remember LEA President Dave Polanzi, who has now changed position as well. That position has changed over. But I remember our very first meeting, and not even knowing names, and I couldn't even see the nameplates to even know who everybody was. And you know, we've come a long way. And he laughed and he said, "Yeah, it's funny watching you guys on your training wheels, and it won't be long before you take them off." And I'm thinking at this meeting, I'm thinking my training wheels might come off now. I'm pretty comfortable. And that's really just thanks to the collaboration and teamwork from all of us. And it would be sad to see us all split up, but at the same time, you know, it change is sometimes good. So thank you to everybody. Okay, so I think we can close this meeting only 6 minutes after time. So thank you so much, and we will meet again. So take care and have a happy holidays, and of course, happy New Year as well.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye.